Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our risen Savior, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. With that being said, why did you come here this morning? Why did you come here this morning? Was it just out of religious habit? Granted, some people have different definitions for habit or religious activities than others. I made that comment a few days ago about the guy from the Reader's Digest that exercised religiously Christmas and Easter. So was that it? Was it just out of religious habit that you came here this morning? Or was there something more, perhaps even more than you expected? And no, I don't mean the helicopter that we had, although that was most certainly unexpected, at least to me. If you came here to mourn Jesus' death, or to just think about a religious leader long since dead, you have come for the wrong reasons. Emmanuel Lutheran Church at Augsburg and the rest of the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world does not worship a dead leader. He is risen. He is living. He is breathing. He has a physical body, as I was just telling the children a few moments ago. We worship a living, breathing, fleshy Savior. One who was dead, yes, but one who on this day became alive again so many years ago. We most certainly do not worship the dead, because if we did, our faith would be useless. It would be meaningless. It would be dead. Certainly you've heard these things before if you've entered this church or another church that worships the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Even in these last weeks leading up to this Easter Sunday, Jesus has told us himself that he would die, but that he would rise again 3 days later. One time he described it as destroying the temple and building again in 3 days. Another time he was telling his disciples, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." If you've had your doubts, or if you've come in here expecting the same old thing, you're not alone. Jesus had said these very things to his disciples, but on that Easter morning so many years ago, it wasn't what they expected, even though he had told them so himself. Even the women making their way to the tomb that morning had everything else on their mind, buying the spices, getting to the tomb. Who would roll away the big stone for them? Those were the things on their minds, not Jesus' words about rising again. At least that's what it says in our gospel text from Mark. Indeed, the women on the way to the tomb were all prepared to finish the burial customs. The two Marys and Salome had bought the necessary spices and were carrying them to them, or to where they had seen Jesus buried after his crucifixion. As we heard on Good Friday night, the women watched where he was put to be buried. Having been there when the tomb was closed, they knew that there was that large stone in their way, and they were discussing who would move it away for them, because they knew it took several large men to be able to move it. The stone described in the Greek text is not a big boulder. It was actually crafted so that it could roll on its side, but so that it would be a tomb or a lid for the tomb, a way of closing it. The women did not expect that anything would be different, even though they had been told beforehand. So, what about you? Do you expect the same old today as any other day? Are you going through an event in your life that perhaps is the same thing you've been through time and time again? But perhaps the Lord is working something different through it. Do you ever suspect that God may be working something different through that routine event? Here it is, yet another Easter Sunday morning. We've had the traditional Easter breakfast. We've had the traditional Easter egg hunt. And here we're having a traditional Easter divine service. But it is my hope that God is working through His Word this morning, taking root in each of your hearts. On the day we are celebrating, our Lord's word was fulfilled. He rose as He had earlier prophesied. The young man, the angel at Jesus' tomb, dressed in white, told the women, as He tells us, it was just as Jesus had told us it would be. Yet it was a resurrection. A person came back from the dead for eternity. In the Reader's Digest and on various newspapers and magazines, you'll find different articles written about people coming back from the dead, sometimes to the surprise of doctors, that somehow that person was resuscitated after 5 minutes, 45 minutes. I don't know what the longest one on record is, but some of those things are happening. But even Jesus made Lazarus rise from the dead. But that was not an eternal resurrection. It was a temporary resurrection. Only God, through Jesus dying on the cross, could bestow such a resurrection. And yes, the foes had their moment of triumph when Jesus died on the cross. But then He said, it is finished. And He went to the grave, He went to hell, not to suffer, but to proclaim it was finished. All that was going to be done was finished. It was all accomplished. Satan was defeated. Death was defeated. Oh, death, where is your sting? It doesn't apply to us anymore. He had told us that He came to give life and give life eternally. And as proof, He Himself, Jesus the Christ, was raised from the dead, from a tomb, physically. And He still lives in that very body at the right hand of God. Once these women have heard this good news from the angel, they are given what some call an Easter Great Commission. They are told to go and tell the other disciples and Peter what had taken place. And then they were told to go and tell the disciples and Peter to go to Galilee, because Mark had recorded earlier that Jesus had said He would meet them at Galilee after His resurrection. But we also have a Great Commission, don't we? We also have a joyous news to go out and proclaim. So how often do we exercise that great privilege? Is it frequently? Or is it like the guy from the Reader's Digest? Rarely. And if you are exercising that right, but not coming to church, how do you know what to say? If you're going to go out and proclaim that Jesus is resurrected from the dead, but don't come to the church where He went, and you don't receive His gifts, His word, His baptism, His body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of your faith, what kind of a experience is that to tell someone? What kind of a word is that to give someone? After all, Jesus tells us, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. What did you come to see this morning? You see Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him. Your sins, not in part but in whole, have been paid for Him when He was nailed to that cross on Good Friday so many years ago. While the women left fearing and trembling, we know the rest of the story. They did not continue keeping their mouths closed, but they did go and tell the disciples and Peter what the angel had told them to say. Today we are Jesus' disciples because of His work on the cross and rising from the grave. He is no longer in Galilee, but He is still where He told you He would be, in His word, in His gifts, and in the life to come, preparing a place for you. Not only in heaven, but as I was telling the children, when He comes again, He will raise your body from the dead and restore it, making it new, giving you new life, life that never sins. And yes, I think there may even be some animals there as well. That's what Isaiah portrays anyway. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.